We'll begin to go through the individual outlines for the particular lessons that we'll cover this year. So in your packet, please turn to, is it page four? Yes, page four. And we'll start to cover these, what we call the summaries. These are the lesson summaries. So we have, we'll be talking about three different things. Could you, so that I remember, could you pass that back? Is that, yeah. We have the lesson book. We have the lesson outlines. You don't have those, right? But you have the list of the 14 outlines. That's the last page, right? So these 14 lesson outlines are meant to summarize the lessons in the book, okay? And then with each of these lesson outlines, we have a lesson summary or an outline summary, okay? Actually, not for each, because this was, there are 12 here, but we'll show you how these 12 relate to the 14. They were updated for our purposes for this time. However, I should make this very clear, is that actually none of these are our source material. Amen. Our source material is the Bible.
Amen.
Our real lesson book is the Bible. And actually, not just in the Summer School of Truth, in all our church life, in all our meetings, we should have this thought, this view, that actually we're enjoying the Word of God, right? Our source is the Word of God. Even when we enjoy the life studies and the notes in the recovery version, these are to help us to understand the Word of God. Some people misunderstand, but I don't blame all of them for misunderstanding, because sometimes we cause them to misunderstand. Because we appreciate the ministry so much, sometimes the way we talk about the ministry gives people an impression that we uplift someone's ministry to be like the Bible. And that's not the brothers. Of course, I did not know Brother Watchman Nee personally, but I did know Brother Witness Lee personally. Actually, Brother Timothy, and he probably knew him better than I. We contacted him. I was under his ministry for 25 years. I don't know how many hundreds of messages I heard him to give, and. And I don't know how many times he said this. It's not that I read it in a message, but I heard him say that please, he said, please don't use my name so much. He said this. He said it. He said like this, poor Brother Lee. That's how he would say, poor Brother Lee. When you say how much you appreciate Brother Lee, then all the attacks come to me. He said this. He said, I still remember how he would put his lips and go, poor Brother Lee, because you appreciate me too much, like this. He would say this. Don't use my name. Don't say, Brother Lee said. He said, better to say, the Bible says. So sometimes we read a message and we say, the message said, the Brother Lee said, and people might ask you, where does it say in the Bible that? And we can't answer. Actually, that's a disservice. That's a real disservice to the ministry that you appreciate. Because this ministry opens the Bible. And that's the testimony of this ministry, to open the Bible. So if whatever he shares, you or I cannot lead people to that point from the Bible, then Brother Lee would feel, I didn't do my job in the proper way. And for all of us, it's the same thing. Anyone who ministers the word, it's better for our names not to be mentioned, not even to be mentioned. And it's better to say, saints, this truth, this is the truth. It doesn't become the truth because that brother said it or Witness Lee said it. It's the truth. And sometimes, anyway, I don't want to belabor that, but our source is the Bible. And this is our, Brother Lee said in that book, Teacher's Training, he gave this message. He said, our lesson book is actually the Bible. Yeah, so we should always have this kind of view. All the more this year when we're on the topic of the Bible. Now, this says the Bible, but this is not the Bible. Right? That's just the title of this book. Actually, it's The Bible, a Lesson Book. Yeah. And then over here, you can't see it in white letters. I don't know if in the new version, it's still white. No, I don't mean the words, but you can read it better. Oh, you have a better version. They did a better job. Oh, look at this nice cover. Yeah, look, see, it says the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God. That's the book. Mine is a little used. Okay, so this, where is it? Okay, so we're at section 3, the Bible, the Word of God, part 1. Now, I'd like to point out that, here it says the reading assignment. It says reading assignment, you see that? Lesson, background, burden to impart, focus, reading assignment. Generally, the reading assignment is the lesson in the book. Okay, so that's how you have the correlation. Which one? Did we put that list in our? Yeah. So that's in the on the last page. It will say here the outline number with the title and then the lesson in the book. Now please notice on this page we start with lesson 23. Okay, actually it's not really lesson 23. It's really the 6 points that we just covered in the last session, the 6 crucial points. But that, the lesson 23 is on our attitude toward the Bible. Look at the last one. Look at lesson 14, outline 14. See, outline 14 is our attitude toward God's Word. That's really lesson 23, okay? But then, if you read down the chapters here, which is the lesson numbers, it's 23, 1, 24, 1, 1. We spend a lot of time in chapter 1. A lot of time is in chapter 1. And a lot of time with the end of the book, chapters 23 and 4. So we have 3 lessons, 3 messages on lesson 1. And we have 3 messages on 23 and 4. The most important part of this book is the beginning and the end. Okay, the beginning and the end. Those are the most crucial lessons. And then you can see again from here, you can see again from the outline sheet. We're covering lesson 23, 1, 24. Then we cover 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so we're only covering lessons 1 through 10, and then 23 and 4. There's a lot of this book that we actually don't cover. And the reason for that is, well, when you look on this page, when you look on the page of the table of contents, lessons 11 through 22, actually 21, lessons 11 through 21, are kind of running through all the books of the Bible. That's good study material for later. We feel that because we only have 10 days, we only have 14 or 15 sessions, we don't have time to cover those lessons. They're too general. They're excellent. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. They're excellent lessons, but they are more educational. And it's a kind of summary of the life study in 10 lessons. You're running through all 66 books of the Bible in 10 or 11 lessons. And we feel if we do that in our truth school, it's going to be just a bunch of information. And we don't leave the people with an impression of anything. Okay, but these lessons are still good and could be material for our study through the year. Okay, for a young people's meeting or a Bible study or something like that. So we concentrate on the beginning and the end. Okay, of course, I just said we concentrate on 1 and 2, on lesson 1 and on 23 and 4. Those are the three most important lessons in the whole book. But we will cover 1 through 10 and 23 and 24. Okay, now let's start in on the lesson summaries. And mostly we'll do this by reading, then with a few comments, because we have put our burden in writing here. So let's read the background. How about we take turns? We'll break the room up into three sections, okay? These two sections, you read the background, you'll be burden to impart, and you'll be focus. Okay, background, please read. Just these few words are important. Love the Bible. Trust the Bible. Receive it. Receive the Bible. It's not a small thing to trust the Bible. We want to impart that to people. They not only love it, they trust it. They trust what it says, and they trust that what it says is the Word of God. Amen. So, I receive it. I receive. Okay, burden.
The burden of this series of lessons should also equip the young people in three ways. We need to prepare our young people to face the difficult situations that they confront in their schools. Today's society and culture attacks the Bible and undermines the faith of the young people. We need to help the young people to see the central thought and the governing vision Bible, which is the most important truth in the Bible.
Amen. We talked about points 1 and 2. We need to prepare young people to face the difficult situations. We do expect that in the small group times in this coming truth school, there are going to be a lot of good discussions about very relevant current topics. Saints, we need to be prepared with the Word of God. We need to make sure we agree with the Bible. So we probably need to have some fellowship with those who are serving. We probably need to gather locally. We need to make sure that all our serving people agree with the Bible. Because there are some things that are, it's a question whether our saints all agree with the Bible or not. So I think you understand what I'm talking about. We need to have genuine fellowship with all the saints because we can't go around and monitor everything that's being said in every group. We have to have the confidence that we are of one accord, that we're speaking the same thing, that we're thinking the one thing, right? And that we're speaking the Word of God, not our feeling of how the Word of God fits into today's society, that we're speaking the pure Word of God. And then we talked about the attacks on the Bible and undermining the faith. Saints, this year, this matter of faith. You know, there are two aspects of this word. There's the faith That's what we believe. And then there's faith. That's the exercise that we have to believe. That actually is something from our spirit, but needs the will. The will and the spirit are both exercised to believe. People are saved when they exercise faith, but actually it is, yes, something that's generated in the spirit, but it needs our will to be exercised. So we need to know, what is the faith? What do we believe? And then we need faith, right? We need faith, speaking in the spirit of faith. We need the faith to believe. We need both. We need to be clear about the first and exercised in the second. Okay, focus. These two sections, please read.
The burden of our first lesson is to impress the young people with the preciousness of the Word of God. These 6 points, as an introduction to this lesson series, should impress them with the effectiveness of the Bible in the lives of so many believers throughout the centuries. The burden of this series of lessons should also equip the young people in 3 ways. We need to prepare our young people to face the difficult situations that they may confront in their schools. Today's society and culture attacks the Bible and undermines the faith of the young people. We need to help the young people to see the central thought and the governing vision of the Bible, which is the most important truth in the Bible.
This last point, this equips our saints to preach the gospel. You know, this book, no matter what you think about it, is a mystery. People wonder, what's the big deal about this book? You know, for our young people, for a 13-year-old to say, oh, you know what? I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I can give you a summary of the Bible. I can tell you what the main point of the Bible is. I can tell you the main point of the Old Testament, main point of the New Testament. You know, we go through some exercise with the young people. We have four, right? There's four phrases that tell you the whole Bible. Remember those four phrases? Right? God planned and created. Satan corrupted or damaged and destroyed. Right? Christ redeemed and built. Then? No, you forgot man. Man. Yeah, after Satan, you have to talk about man. Man fell and was lost. Then Christ redeemed and built. So it's God, Satan, man, Christ. It's the whole Bible. You can preach the gospel with those four statements. Yeah. Okay, lesson two. Background people, where are you? Please.
In the New Testament age, many of God's chosen people rejected the Lord Jesus. He always pointed them to the Word of God in the Old Testament. But because they came to the Word in a wrong way and received it only as teaching and not as life, they were not able to gain the benefit from the Bible. The Christians today are similar in that they search the Scriptures, but they will not come to Him that they may have life. How many divisions have come out of the improper use of the Bible and using the Bible to fight rather than to receive God as life through His words?
Burden.
In this lesson, we are very burdened to inspire the young people to come to the Bible in the right way, to receive the Word of God as it truly is, spirit and life. In this session, we should show the young people how to pray using the Word and how to receive it as life and life supply that they may live. Our young people need help in learning the best way to pray, read the words of the Bible for their daily supply.
Amen. Next.
The burden in this lesson is to show that we must be balanced when we come spirit and a sober and clear mind. God has given us two precious things, the Holy Spirit within us and the Holy Bible in our hands. We need to impress the young people that all of their experiences of God, Christ, the Spirit, and life are in oneness with the Bible as the Word of God. We want to help them with these two sides in order to be very balanced.
This brings us to the point that Brother Timothy emphasized earlier, the two gifts. We start with these two gifts. The way to know God, the Spirit within, the Bible without. That's the two great gifts God has given us to know Him. But to contact the Bible in the proper way and to contact the Spirit, we have to use our spirit, our human spirit. Exercise it in the proper way. This lesson also talks about the origins of the origin of the Bible. So very interesting how men... Yes, men wrote the Bible, but they were what? They were born, B-O-R-N-E, born by the Spirit. They were inspired by the Spirit. You know, this verse also could be translated, all Scripture is inspired by God. We say God breathed. But if you understand inspiration in the proper way, it's that God breathed Himself into people, and that moved them. And that became an inspiration to write. It was the result of His breathing Himself into them. And now these scriptures, they convey the Spirit. They convey God if we touch them in the proper way. Okay, lesson number three. Let's come back. Background. Amen. Burden.
The burden of this lesson is to inspire them to become rich in the Word, since He dwells in us like a person and we enjoy it very much. So in this session, we want to help the young people in the most practical and spiritual way to learn how to come to the Bible by reading it, pray reading it, studying it, memorizing it, singing with it, and then speaking it. This session can even be like a workshop with practice and exercise for them to learn.
Amen. You know, saints, this lesson is actually lesson 24. It's the last lesson in the book. When we got into this and we got the book the first time and we were considering how to present this, we realized we can't wait until the last day to talk to them about reading the Bible and pray reading the Bible. You know, we have them, originally it was 5 or 6 weeks together. How could we wait for the last day? We have to practice every day. So we had to move this lesson to the beginning of our training. So this lesson will be given, this is our topic three, it'll be given on the second day. Now, we realize that the young people, not only they may think they know it says here, they know what the Bible says and this and that. Many of our young people think they know what prayer reading is. But actually, some of them have never really touched the Lord through prayer reading. We have the same vocabulary, but we have different dictionaries. There is, we use the same words, but when we say it, we mean one thing. When they receive it, if they weren't helped into reality, they think something else. They think a certain practice. They think it's a certain practice. But actually, I was fellowshipping with a sister during our lunchtime. She told me she read this recently, where Brother Lee said in one message, you don't even have to open the Bible to pray read. You can pray read any time, like in the shower. Because, you know, we already have a lot of verses in us. You just start to pray. You just call the Lord. Just call the Lord. And then maybe a verse will come to you. And, you know, a verse will come to you. This week we had this verse in our morning revival assignment. The verse I mentioned before, let this mind be in you. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. But this morning, as I was before the Lord, this verse came back. It just came back. I didn't have to open to it. And I spent time to pray over this. The verses just come to you. Even the young ones, I believe, they have something in them, many of them. And it's not a point, the point is not this practice, how we actually do it. And we have different ways. Now, we have repeat readings. Or we used to practice what? Echo pray reading. You can help someone really touch the Spirit if you do that in a proper way, the echo prayer reading. But if it becomes a practice, just a practice, it's just like anything else. It's a form. And people do the form, but without the reality, then it means zero. We have to do our best to help them touch the Spirit in the Word by the use of their spirit. And that comes to the young ones, to new ones, very often by helping them, by stressing not exercise, but genuineness. Sometimes we emphasize this part. You gotta exercise. And I would say, that's true. But it's possible for someone to pick up some outward form and consider that if they mimic you, then they're exercising their spirit. But, you know, it does say in John 4, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truthfulness. And that could also be translated, genuineness. It's truthful. It means you worship in spirit and in reality, like you really worship. You enter into a reality that becomes your virtue. And that's genuineness. And we have to help our young people just be genuine when they come to the Lord. And that means you can say anything to him. You can say anything. And even in their prayer reading, they can express things to the Lord so that they can touch the reality. Okay, focus. Lesson 3, focus, this group. The burden
of this lesson is to help the young people into the enjoyment of the Word through many ways. We especially want to help them to enter into the practice of prayer reading in a proper and normal way. We also want to impress them of the need to be equipped with the Word of God in order to speak the gospel to their friends and relatives.
So this lesson will cover many ways. I think it's 6 or 7 ways. Reading, prayer reading, memorizing, studying, singing, and speaking. At least these 6 ways of entering into the enjoyment of the Word. And from the beginning, from the first day, we're going to want them to start a reading schedule, which we hope will go through the 10 days and all through the rest of the, you know, August and into their school semester. So we'll emphasize the reading. Of course, we'll emphasize memorizing, but we really want them to enjoy the praying of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, lesson 4. The writing of the Bible and the translations of the Bible. Okay, background.
Most people do not know what the Bible talks about. Most Christians do not know the subject or the central thought of the Bible. As part of our summer school of truth, it is vital and crucial that the young people understand why the Bible was written, how it was written, and what the central thought and subject of the Bible is.
We do, in some of the churches in some of different countries, they do have a winter school of truth. We use these lessons to help both. That's why that's listed there. Okay, then, burden.
In this session, we begin to introduce the young people
of the central thought of the Bible, revealing Christ and the Church. They also need a good inoculation and understanding why there are so many translations of the Bible and why we treasure the Recovering Version.
And focus.
The burden of this lesson is to help the young people understand the subject and central thought of the whole Bible, including how to subdivide the Bible according to spiritual experience. It also touches the translations of the Bible and how precious the Recovery Version of the Bible is. We have to exercise ourselves to be able to present all these points in an inspiring and clear way. Again, we want to stress that the way to enjoy the Word of God as life is by prayer reading.
A lot of questions that are asked concerning the Bible actually relate here to different translations, the writings, when it was written. People say it was written by man and so on. So this lesson is designed to help with that, to have a nice clear presentation of how the Bible came to be, right? The writings of the Bible. And also, we do hope that we could give our young people an appreciation of this Recovery Version. You know, we really do believe this is the best version. This is the best study Bible. This Bible, with its, especially with the notes, helps us to, as we said before, unlock the Bible. Then they should be equipped with that. But they should know that the Bible is the Bible. The Word of God is the Word of God. And they should also know if you're with a Christian and they're reading the King James, that's fine. That's just fine. We just read the Word together. It's not like we insist. Oh, if you don't read the Recovery Version, you're not a Christian. Yeah, don't ever say anything like that. Okay, some people, just because we never explained and because of how we emphasize things, people get developed really funny concepts, right? So anyway, we just need to be proper. Now, this is the lesson I told you, one of my favorite. Lesson 5, the functions of the Bible. The functions of the Bible. Background.
While many religious books are written for the purpose of passing on knowledge, the division and improvement of character or behavior, the Bible was written to accomplish some very crucial functions. You may think you understand the basic thought of the Bible and what it wants man to do. We may not fully realize or benefit from how the Bible functions in the lives of man, to change him and cause him to be a man of God.
Okay, man. Burden.
We are very burdened that the young people would experience and enjoy the functions of the Bible as the Word of God. From the outset, it testifies the Lord Jesus, makes us wise unto salvation, regenerates us, feeds us, even becoming the bread of life to us and the source of our living. Our burden is not for the young people to merely know these things, but to see it, practice it, enjoy it, and ultimately live it.
You know, you could summarize this lesson with just this phrase. This is what the Bible does to you. This is what the Bible does for you. This is what the Bible does in you. The Bible does things. The Word of God does things. Maybe the key verse here is Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and operative. It operates. The Word operates, and the Word changes people. I hope all of us would be able to give some testimony how the Word of God changed us. I've mentioned in the past here and there concerning my father, who was saved late in life. He was 69. And actually the first 3 years that he was saved, and I've mentioned this story too, the only way I could get him to pray to be saved was if I agreed not to tell my mother that he was saved. And because he didn't want my mother to force him to read the Bible, to go to church meetings, and to stop associating with his friends in the world. He says, if I become a Christian, he said, your mother will make me do these things. I said, okay, if that's the only reason, then I told him, I promise I won't tell mom. And it took him a little while to accept that, to believe me. But he says, you sure? I said, sure, I promise. So he said, okay. So he prayed with me. I didn't speak with him about baptism. I didn't speak to him about reading the Bible. I didn't encourage. I was a bad shepherd. Bad shepherd. Actually, I was not a shepherd. I didn't do any shepherding. I didn't encourage him to go to meetings. I didn't, nothing. I just left him alone. I was just glad he's in the New Jerusalem. That's all I cared about. His eternal destiny. Okay. So for 3 years, I didn't say a word about anything. But he lived in, a year later, he moved into my house. And then for 21 years, he lived in my home. And so my mom and dad were living with us. And every now and then, my mother, we would be maybe driving to the meeting together, coming home. She would say little things like, I don't know what's gotten into your father. I said, what are you talking about? Well, I came home from the sisters' meeting. Oh, he was vacuuming. That was like, it was a miracle to my mother that my father would do any house chores. Because in my culture, no, you. Sorry, that's women's work. Sorry, but that's the way we grew up. And then another thing. So I don't know. Your father's changing. I said, what do you mean? Oh, we had dinner the other night, and he got up and took his plate to the, that was a big thing to my mother. And then another thing was, this was very big, is that, something's going on with your father. I said, why do you say this? You know, he stopped going to be with his friends in the world. He would go every weekend, especially Friday night, Saturday night. He'd go to the Bronx. There was a club that they made, all the old friends from Puerto Rico. And they played dominoes and billiards, and they drink and dance and all. And so he was like the treasurer. He became the treasurer of this club. He'd go open the door, make sure they had supplies, and then he'd come home. Then sometimes he'd go back, lock the door, and then come back. Just drive to do that. And my mother was like, what's gotten into him? Well, he had gotten saved. That was one thing. The Lord, the Spirit was in him. But also, there were a couple of times I noticed when my sister saw this too, when she would visit him. He had a Bible. I don't even know where he got the Bible. But we'd catch him reading the Bible. And he'd like, cover it like that. Hi, what do you want? And when he would visit my sister, there was, I know, at least one time when she went to his room and she saw the Bible open. He forgot to hide it. That's why I can say this lesson. The Bible can change you. He didn't have any quote-unquote shepherding. None. No one encouraged him to read. No one encouraged him to go to meetings, to have the hearing of faith. No. No one did that. And if you do that, he'd reject you. But secretly, he would read. And not, I don't mean every day. He just read. And the Bible changed this man. And so the version many of you know of my father is very different than the version we knew before. So the Bible changes people. Okay, focus. Here's the focus. The burden
in this lesson is to help the young people see the functions of the Bible in a practical way. In all these lessons, we want to inspire, encourage, and prepare them to pursue the Word of God for all the benefits. We also want to prepare and equip them to face opposition, answer challenges, preach the gospel, and prophesy for the building up of the church.
Now, in the book, this book has only, I think, this is the end. This is the end of lesson one. We're still in lesson one, and I think it's 6 points. Yeah, 6 points of the functions of the Bible. Yeah. So actually, we have developed this. Actually, this is just Brother Lee's outline from the full-time training. Peter, could you just read through this list for us?
Yes.
Yeah. Brother Lee has 20 functions of the Bible. And so we have split this into two messages. So we'll cover 10 in one session, 10 in another session. So we're going to spend two lessons on this. Just to refresh you, just listen to these functions of the Bible.
One, to testify concerning Christ.
Amen.
Two, to make men wise unto salvation.
Amen.
Three, to enliven and enlighten men.
Amen.
Four, to be medicine to men.
Amen.
Five, to bring a taste of the Lord's goodness and sweetness to men.
Amen.
Six, to cause men to be regenerated.
Amen.
Seven, to be a seed causing the believers to become the reproduction of God.
Amen.
Eight, to nourish the believers.
Amen.
Nine, to be rain and snow to water the believers for God's purpose.
Amen.
Ten, to be grain, a fire, and a hammer to the believers.
Amen. Do you know the Bible is a hammer? The Word of God is a hammer. That's a good one.
Amen.
Amen.
11, to operate within the believers, to divide the soul and spirit, and to discern the thoughts and intentions of the hearts.
Amen.
12, to try the believers and yet give them hope.
Amen.
13,
the Word of God can give you hope.
Amen.
Have we all experienced that? We're in a situation, you read something, in a sense that chapter, that verse doesn't have anything to do with your situation, but somehow it just inspires you, comforts you, and gives you hope. This verse in Romans 15 talks about the encouragement of the Scriptures. The encouragement of the Scriptures. We all should experience the encouragement of the Scriptures.
Amen.
Amen.
13, to give the believers endurance and encouragement.
Amen. Amen.
14, to become the joy and rejoicing of the believers' hearts.
Amen.
15, to wash the believers metabolically.
Amen.
16, to be the cross terminating the believers.
Amen.
17, to be grace building the believers up.
Amen.
18, to sanctify the believers.
Amen.
19, to make the believers complete.
Amen.
20, to be a sword slaying God's enemy.
Amen. 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 And this list is not exhaustive, but there are 20 functions of the Word of God. We hope this lesson can be very practical to our young people. So again, this will be the new lesson 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Yeah. Lesson 6 here. The proof of the Bible being the Word of God. Okay, background.
The teachers and professors that the young people will have to encounter during their high school and college years do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. They will oppose his law, challenge it, and ridicule the believers.
Wait.
It is designed to equip the young people with 12 points that prove that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, from cover to cover.
I guess we're missing a nest there, right? They will oppose this thought, challenge its authenticity. Challenge its, I-T-S, its authenticity, and ridicule the believers. This lesson is designed to equip the young people with 12 points that prove that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, cover to cover. Okay, burden.
This lesson is interesting and inspiring as we open up these points as proof of the Bible being the Word of God. The burden in the heart is for them to develop a true love for confidence in its authenticity. We are burdened that the young people will use the Word of God as a preached gospel to their friends, and so
Amen. And then focus.
The burden in this lesson is to equip the young people to face the opposition and attack from their school teachers and college professors. We need to infuse them with these 12 proofs to help the young people be strengthened in their faith and confidence that the Bible is truly the Word of God. These proofs should be a real shepherding of the souls of the young people to affirm and confirm that the Bible has withstood every test and is truly the Word of God.
Amen. Now, this lesson can be a great help to the young people. It does have these points, these 12 points concerning the the validity of the Bible, such as the proof by logic, the proof by its completion. You know, with this, it's this example which we've given many times. At least 40 different writers, right? All from different backgrounds, in different places, and then through hundreds of years apart. Yet, and they all wrote something. Then you put that all together, and it's one book with one theme. And that's just an amazing fact. And so, anyway, spend a little time to show that it's very impressive to people. How can this, you know, Moses, who wrote Genesis, John, who wrote Revelation, they were how many years apart? Right? Hundreds of years apart. And yet, what John writes at the end reflects what Moses wrote at the beginning. And there's one theme and one line throughout. Anyway, that's from the completion. Prophecies, there's prophecies about Christ, Israel, and different nations, and so many things, even some scientific proof. And then the proof of people's love of the Word and how they were willing to die for a copy of the Bible. Very inspiring. And there are some examples, actually, not just written here, but among us, of saints in different places who have suffered for the Bible. We'd like that to be presented. We are considering, you know, some of the points here in this actual lesson, some of the stories might be a little on the old side. We probably need to refresh this, and we're considering even who could give this lesson in the best way. We're actually considering to invite some brothers to come just to give this lesson. To this could be very, very interesting, equipping, and inspiring to the young people. So pray for this specific lesson in this way, that it really would equip our young people when they're facing the challenges. Okay, we'll cover the rest in the next session. Again, we want to open this up for your fellowship, maybe for about 10 minutes. Any response? How do you feel about how important these particular lessons are, or any other burdens? More sharing from this morning. And then we want to save the last 15 minutes to talk about some practical things about the services, and then even some thoughts about moving forward for next year and some changes that we probably will need to make in our going on together. So we'll just open it up for your fellowship. Please feel free to respond. Amen.